looking at basically those three different treatments, applying them at a two-node stage and early heading, just to see what stage is most appropriate for them to work up here. We're testing them on brome grasses like smooth and meadow brome grass, creeping red fescue, and timothy. Those are the grasses that we've been mainly focused on, and those are the three main grass seed crops that we grow up here right now.
Knowledge for Resilience, a cross-commodity podcast brought to you jointly by the Peace River Forage Association, the Peace Region Forage Seed Association, the BC Grain Producers Association, and the Northern Cohort. Welcome to Episode 9. I'm your host, Nadia Mori. Whether you grow cereal crops or forage seed crops, you know that lodging can be a problem and reduce crop yields significantly. Growth regulators are products with the potential to reduce some of these issues. Although growth regulators have been around for a while, they were not commercially available in Canada until a few years ago. So, there's still lots we don't know about the effects of these products on forage seed crops grown in the Peace region. Here to talk to us today about some of his latest research is Calvin Yoder. Calvin is a forage seed specialist, conducting research trials in conjunction with Sarda Ag Research and the Peace Region Forage Seed Association. Although Calvin has many research balls in the air, today's chat will focus on growth regulators, what they are, what they do, and when you might consider using them. Calvin is working on fine-tuning application rates, timing, and potential product blends that might work. His goal is to help forage seed growers have the information they need to make the agronomic decision of whether or not this product is something they would like to use on their forage seed crops. Whether you are a forage seed grower or not, I think you will learn something new in this chat. Without further ado, let's get growing. Thanks so much for your time today, Calvin, and I look forward to talking to you about growth regulators today.
Excellent.
So maybe to get us started, why don't you tell us a bit more about yourself and your background and how you got to be involved with all this research?
So I'm Calvin Yoder, and I work as a forage seed specialist. I live out of Spirit River. I have a contract right now that's with Sarda Ag Research and also the Peace Region Forage Seed Commission. Basically, I just basically do extension and applied research work in growing forage seed crops and up here in the Peace Country. I had worked for Alberta Agriculture for, 23 years or so. When I first started with Alberta Agriculture, it's kind of a forage specialist, just a general forage specialist position. So hay crops, pastures, forage seed crops, because we grow a lot of turf and forage seed crops. And then probably the last 10 or 15 years, the job got a little more specialized, and I became mainly focused on, again, research and extension work in turf and forage seed production up in the Peace Country. And then 2 years ago, Alberta Agriculture kind of went through changes and stuff like that, and they terminated a lot of, most extension and research positions in agriculture. I was one of them that got terminated. You know, we kind of probably seen it coming a little bit. I've always had a good relationship with both groups, like Sarda Ag Research. I've done a lot of my research or my work through them, and then I've always worked really closely with, you know, Talon and the Peace Region Forage Seed Association. We kind of saw it coming, and basically we set up a contract and got some extra funding to help fund my position. So I basically do work with them. And like I say, it's mostly extension research. We have a really strong, well-established turf and forage seed industry up here. It's been around for many years, since 1940 type of thing, 1930, when they first started growing some creeping red fescue for seed up here. You know, the Peace region is one of the main turf and forage seed growing areas in the world. There's other areas like Oregon and Denmark and New Zealand, which are big areas, some pockets in Europe, but the Peace region and both the Alberta, when I talk Peace region too, I always include both the Alberta and BC Peace. So again, it's one of the main grass seed growing and forage and turf seed growing areas in the world. Yeah, I just became kind of specialized in this area. I think there was a need for it. And yeah, it's actually a pretty good we're a pretty good position to be working in. What would be my day-to-day jobs? I guess I take calls from growers. We have seed companies up here and across Western Canada. I mean, the turf and forage seed industry is pretty small. And there's other, you know, seed companies and growers in Western Canada as well, especially Manitoba and Saskatchewan. So I take calls from, well, most of the growers up here across Western Canada, seed companies. You know, a lot of the work we do is also, you know, so I'm doing farm calls, phone calls, write-up articles, that sort of thing. The other part of it is just doing some applied research work. We do a lot of work with testing some of the newer herbicides that are coming out that some of the chemical companies are registering on annual crops, testing them on our forage seed crops to see how safe they are. When we're looking at producing turf and forage seed up here, quality is so important in terms of weed seeds and stuff like that. You know, and we're always kind of seeding new forage seed crops down, and we always need weed control options there, herbicide options there. And during establishment, we're always spraying them. And it's one of the main questions that growers always have or seed companies have. No, nobody else really does the work. You know, if the industry or the grower commissions don't step up and do it, it's generally not going to get done. The markets are just too small for herbicide companies or other companies to invest in it. So that's a big part of it. And then just some basic agronomy type work. Like right now we're doing work with growth regulators and stuff like that. We do a little bit of work with fungicides on a number of our different crops. We do that kind of work in farmers' field. You know, half my time is probably spent in extension work, you know, getting information out, taking phone calls, doing farm calls, whatever it might be, talking at meetings in the wintertime. And then the rest would be just doing some applied research work in the field with growers.
One of your projects is looking at the growth regulators. Mm-hmm. Now, for somebody who's never heard about growth regulators, do you want to just give a bit of background? Like, what are they and what do they do?
Growth regulators, they've been around in Canada for a while. I mean, they are used across the world. In terms of using them on, say, cereal crops like oats, barley, or wheat, or say, grass seed crops, basically they shorten up the internodes on the stems, make the stem stronger, which goes back to just reducing plant heights, just basically keeps the plant from lodging when we get into some high moisture and high fertility conditions, especially grass seed stands standing and not lodging. Is pretty important, especially during pollination, because at pollination, when the heads are starting to flower, you want lots of air movement through them, and then you want that pollen being transferred. And at that point in time, we like when our crops are standing up. If they're lodged, we definitely see some yield reductions if they're lodging during pollination. They're effective, again, at reducing lodging and plant heights and even dry matter. A lot of those stands are actually easier to harvest as well. So that's kind of generally what they do. Like I say, they've been around in Canada for quite a while now. There's been two products that were recently registered on cereal crops in Canada, and those are the ones we are working on. In terms of the forage seed industry, incorporating them into forage seed crops in Western Canada, we're quite a ways behind the rest of the world. I mentioned those main grass seed growing areas like, you know, Oregon, New Zealand, Denmark. They've been using them for at least the one type. They've been using them for many years now, like probably 20 or 25 years. But those areas as well, they're really consistent in their moisture. Like you look at a place like Oregon in the Willamette Valley there, you know, they're getting like 40 to 50 inches of rain a year. And they're using lots of fertility. Their crops basically go down. And same in New Zealand as well. They have some pretty consistent moisture conditions. They use, you know, fairly high levels of fertility. Lodging has always been an issue. And since those products, the one product anyways, got it registered on the grass seed crops, I mean, it improved their seed yields by 30-40% in those areas. Generally been really effective. We're behind here a bit just because we didn't have access to those products commercially yet. Till the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, and the one product actually just the last 2 years, we're a little bit behind those areas. And our conditions are a lot different from those areas as well. Like our yields are probably a third of what they're getting. We're not always running into conditions where we have our crops lodge and stuff like that. You know how variable the weather conditions are up in the Peace Country. 2020, everything was lodging, and last year with being so dry, crops didn't lodge at all. But they've worked so well in other parts of the world, we definitely felt, you know, we better be looking at these products on our grass seed crops and how they interact in our environments up in the Peace Country.
So you mentioned there's a couple different types.
There's two main ones that we've been working with. The one that's getting used kind of in those main grass seed growing areas across the world is the active ingredient is Trinexapec ethyl. that's the main one that would be used down in those other areas like Oregon and New Zealand, Europe. It's just a standard practice. They do it every year. So that one's the most widely used one on grass seed crops. And the trade name on that one is Modus. So I'll refer it to Modus when we're talking today. And then the other one is chlormoquat chloride. That's the active ingredient for the other one. And that trade name is Manipulator. And it's not used as widely on grass seed crops across the world, but in certain areas, Sweden and Finland, Norway through there where they grow timothy, they tend to use the Manipulator on some of their timothy seed crop. It's not used near as much, but still has shown some potential in some areas. So those would be the two main ones that we'd be looking at. And Manipulator is registered on, I think, wheat, barley, and oats in Canada. It's been registered on cereals in Canada for probably, I think it's been a couple years now, like 5 or 6 years. Modus, the other one that's distributed by Syngenta. Syngenta just got registered, about a year ago. Yeah, maybe a year and a half ago now on barley and wheat and oat crop. That's the main one that was being used on grass seed crops in other parts of the world. So it was nice to see that registration came through. And now we actually have access to product to do more work with it on our grass seed crops.
So you mentioned the producers would use it to kind of shorten that internode elongation. Mm-hmm. Is that the main use, or are there other uses as well?
No, that's the main reason we'd be using it. Yeah, again, it shortens up those internodes. Manipulator actually can help make the stem thicker as well. And then just the combination of those two things, reduce plant heights, it just helps with reducing lodging. And all that goes along to help with improving pollination and seed set and harvesting. So that's really a thing about it. There's been other work in Oregon where they grow a lot of perennial ryegrass. And perennial ryegrass down there is really responsive to Modus, the Modus growth regulator. They do a little bitter, little higher end or more detailed research work than we would do up here. So they're counting seed heads per plant and seeds per spikelet and figuring out seeds per meter squared. So it's pretty intense. We're basically yield and lodging when they're doing our trials. Yeah, some of those with the Modus anyways in ryegrass, we've actually seen an increase in seeds per spikelet as well, which increases the amount of seeds per area in some species. So, but the big part about them too, they're most effective on newer stands where there's been some fairly good fertility put down and under really good moisture conditions.
So you've been working on a research trial around the growth regulators. Do you want to just lay out kind of the hypothesis that you were after or the project that you were working on?
We've been doing work with some of this stuff for quite a while now, probably 8 years maybe. It started out a little bit smaller. Like we do have just at Beaver Lodge, there's an Ag Canada research station there, and there's a forage seed program there. Over there, we started out with some smaller plot work. At first, just the Modus actually, looking at some different rates and timings on timothy, meadowbrome, and creeping red fescue. It started out there. And then we've kind of expanded into, it's still small plot work, but doing it more in farmers' fields. The trials in the last, say, 4 or 5 years, we've tried to keep some of the treatments the same. But basically, we're taking kind of Modus at one rate. We've taken the Manipulator at one rate. And then there was some work out of New Zealand that showed actually when you mix the two together and the rates are cut, can actually be a really effective treatment, an economical one as well. We started to include that as one of the treatments too. We basically have one rate of Modus, one rate of Manipulator, kind of a half rate of Modus and Manipulator together. And then we kind of put them on at the two-node stage, just when the plants are kind of starting to elongate. And then we also put them on at a second stage at early heading, looking at basically those three different treatments, applying them at the two-node stage and early heading, just to see what stage is most appropriate for them to work up here. We're testing them on brome grasses like smooth and meadow brome grass, creeping red fescue, and timothy. Those are the grasses that we've been mainly focused on. And those are the three main grass seed crops that we grow up here right now.
So in terms of how you designed the study?
Yeah, so we go usually the fall before we're ready to place these treatments in farmers' fields. We'll scout out fields that, you know, are good and uniform stands that we think are suitable for these trials. It's still fairly small plot work, so we got to make sure we have a good uniform area so that we're collecting good data we collect off of them is useful. Our plots are about 3 meters by 10 meters. And then we have four replications in a randomized complete box design. So it's a research design. And then we have a plot sprayer, and then we'll basically spray 2 meters down the middle of each plot. And then throughout the summer, we'll apply our treatments, obviously, at the two different stages. And usually we'll have at least two sites for each grass. So we can, there's always some issues with a site or two once in a while. So it's nice to get a number of sites done each year. But anyways, yeah, so we spray down the middle of each plot. That's usually, again, depending on the species and what the year's like, the two-node stage might go on like the third week of May, end of May type of thing. And then the early heading stage, we'd be applying it more in early June. You know, we try and have kind of a 10-day period between those two applications. I mean, if you just waited a couple days between, you're probably not going to learn too much. So we usually try and have those applications a minimum of 10 days apart in terms of staging on the crop. So yeah, so then throughout the summer, we'll do some visual lodging ratings to see which treatments are lodging or are not lodging compared to the check. We always have a check, obviously, in each trial for each location. A lot of these trials are about 7 treatment trials then altogether. So then we'll do some visual lodging ratings, just a basic scale on how bad, on a scale of, I think, 1 to 9 on how the crops are lodging. Then we'll do plant heights, usually just around pollination or just when the plants are pollinating. And then after that, we basically take seed yields. So we're pretty fortunate. The last about 4 or 5 years ago, we got set up really good with Sard Ag Research, and they have a small plot swather, so we can swath right down the middle of the plot and get a full cut. And they have a small plot combine as well that we come back, say, a week later and harvest, basically combine, thrash out the seed. It all gets bagged, and then we dry the samples at their shop, the sort of shop over in Flair. They have a cleaner as well, clean the samples up, and then we'll also do 1,000 weights and germinations on those samples as well for each plot. So it works out pretty good. So for the Timothy and the Creeping Red Fescue, those crops are swathed all the time. So that's how we process those. For the bromes, we actually, they do shatter, but not near as bad as Timothy or Creeping Red Fescue. So those actually we straight combine. So those are actually fairly nice. And that's one benefit we've seen with the growth regulators too. When the crop's standing a lot better, it's a lot easier to straight combine when it comes to the brome. Yeah, so that's kind of our methodology. And then run stats on it, put the results together and start comparing things from site to site and year to year and talk about it at meetings. So like I say, we've kind of went with this set of treatments list for the last 3 years, and then we have funding for one more year to do kind of those same treatment lists and on those same crops.
For the years that you've already done, what sort of results have you already seen?
I think it's pretty cool. We've seen good results. They've all helped in terms of what they're supposed to do, reducing plant heights and lodging. For the most part, it seems that the earlier application at the two-node stage is maybe a little more effective than the later stage in terms of those parameters, but we've still had some fairly good responses at the later stage as well. There are some differences in how the species have reacted to some of the different products and timings. I would say on the brome grasses, they've really responded really nice. And there's not a lot of brome grass grown in other parts of the world, so I think we're probably the first area that actually did work with brome grasses, because I couldn't find too much else in literature reviews on using growth regulators on brome grasses. But they've worked quite well. Like I say, they do their thing, especially the manipulator. It's the one that stood out a little bit more. It's maybe not as effective as the Modus or the Mix. The mix of the two, which is, again, the most economical one as well, is actually always the most aggressive, or it does its job the best, I guess is a way to put it. It's very effective, again, at reducing plant heights and lodging. But in some years, when you get into some dry conditions or maybe the crop's under stress, that it's actually almost too hard on it. It's kind of interesting that way. I guess in terms of effectiveness on reducing plant heights and lodging, regardless of the species, it seems like the Mix is generally the most effective one. Again, almost too hard at times. The Modus by itself would be next. And then the manipulator would be it's still effective. It still does its thing, but not quite as effective as the other two products.
So because you would have to apply it fairly early in the season, you might not yet know what the weather's going to be, right?
That is a big part of it. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, we're just want to run these trials over a couple of years and get different conditions each year. And we've seen that. Like I say, we're not as consistent at some of those other grass seed growing areas, but, you know, get a better idea on which years we should be using and which we shouldn't. And the previous fall, kind of a lot of grasses set their seed potential up in the fall before winter. You can start probably making a little bit of a decision even the previous fall on how your stand looks. Did you get good uniform establishment? How thick is it? Moisture conditions. Generally, when we get really good moisture conditions in, say, September, October, we know we're probably going to have some fairly decent grass seed crops the next year. And then if April and May are fairly wet, it's probably a good thing to be trying there are years where we're going to put them on and we may not get those conditions. And they can look a little nasty in those years. Like they can be pretty hard on the crop just visually looking at them. But surprisingly, especially this year, 2021, when it, or last year, I guess, 2021, when it was so dry. I mean, we did get some actual seed yield losses, more so with the mix, because that's the one most effective. And again, like I said earlier, sometimes it can be a little bit too harsh. But 2021 was it. We've never seen a dry year like this. Our grassy crops were terrible. I've never seen them so bad ever. And unfortunately, they didn't look too bad in the spring. But like you say, when you put them on and it stays dry, we did get some actual yield loss at some of the sites. But the interesting thing about them, though, too, is they can look a little, you know, these growth regulators, especially the mix and the modus by itself, they can make some of these grass crops look a little ugly after you put them on and even throughout the summer. But when you actually come to do the seed yields, they're pretty much the same as the Czech on a year where it's drier. So that's one thing we're going to have to get used to a little bit. Sometimes when you're showing these treatments to some farmers on a year where maybe it's a little bit on the drier side, or maybe the stand isn't that productive and maybe we shouldn't have even tried them on it anyways, they'd be like, why would I be ever doing that to my crop? Like, I'm spending $20 an acre, $25 an acre, and it's looking terrible. But actually, when you come back to do the seed yields, they're generally not as bad as what they look.
You mentioned the cost, so obviously this isn't for free. So do you want to just expand a bit on that?
We use some different rates for some of the different grass seed crops because Timothy is a little more sensitive to them. So our rates are lower on that. But, you know, the costs are going to be anywhere, again, depending on the crop and whether it's the mix or modus or manipulator by itself. You're going to be anywhere from probably about $12 or $13 an acre. And I think that's the mix on Timothy. And then the most expensive one would be the mix on the Creeping Red Fescue. I think we're up to $27 or $28 an acre. With the rates we're using now, those rates might change with time as we do more work with them as well. Because I do feel even with that mix, there's probably opportunity. There's so much synergy in that product. And it's so effective on some of these crops. I think future work, we could be dropping the proportions of that mix of both components and actually start to even get it down to a more reasonable price. But you know, some of the yield results we've had, like, wow, in a wet year, like 2020, we had some amazing yield results on basically all the grasses we put it on. But 2020 was a really wet year. I mean, crops were lodged, good grass seed crops, but that year, all the products worked really good, and the more effective ones were actually the modus by itself and the mix, followed by manipulator. But, you know, the one that we're probably adapting a little bit quicker, there's some growers actually starting to use it already, it would be manipulator on the brome grasses. You know, we've had, again, depending on the year, we've had anywhere from similar to the Czech, you know, no yield response, basically up to maybe 30% increase in yield, which is getting pretty good. Like when you're starting to get 30 or 35% yield increase, that's pretty good. And especially when you look at the price of brome, probably over time, it's probably more in that $1.50 range. Last year and this year, it's up to $3 a pound. So it doesn't take too much to cover the cost of these. But manipulator on the brome has been pretty cool because I say it's more, it does its thing, takes a little longer to work than the other two products or the other two treatments we've been using. But I also find it safer. You know, if we do get into some stress conditions or maybe it's just not the right year, we should have been using them, even though at the time, like you say, it looked like it was good. And it's been a nice treatment on bromes, and, you know, it's kept the crop standing fairly good. Like I say, we are seeing some growers use it, especially on their first or second year fields where those fields are generally going to be a little more productive in terms of seed yield potential. I'm to the point where I think that manipulator, and we're putting it on at a liter per acre brome trials, and that's what we've gotten some of the farmers to try, at least demos. But some guys, there's one grower in particular that's doing most of his brome now that way. And I think we're in for that treatment, we're probably in that $23 per acre range. There's definitely something there where we've seen some good yield responses, and yet, again, the manipulator is just a little bit, it's definitely safer than the other two products if we do get into some of those drier conditions or the stand maybe wasn't quite right. So I think that actually for serious brome grass growers, I think that'll become a fairly standard practice here in the next couple of years once we get more of this information out.
The $23 per acre you mentioned, that's when you would have to do those two applications? That's what that includes?
No,
or just the one?
Just the one. Sorry, I should say, those two applications aren't on top of each other. They're just separate treatments. I guess I should mention that. That's the cost for the product. You'd be another Well, custom rates for sprayers, probably $7 an acre. Farmers have their own sprayers, so it's not that much. But yeah, you're probably, whatever, $25 to $30 an acre. Mm-hmm. Probably in that $25 range or so for getting it on. But the nice thing about the Bromes is, you know, not everybody straight combines them, but there are a number, there's quite a few growers that do. And these really help to keep the crop standing up nice, and it makes it a lot easier for straight combining too. To me, that's been our biggest success story so far, because I feel confident in telling somebody to use it now, like on their Brome, not scared to. When we've done them on Bromes, like the Modus or the Mix, when we've done them on Brome grass crops where it's been a really wet year, 2 years in particular, we've had tremendous results, like even better than the manipulator. There's just some years like last year where, you know, again, if that crop is under stress, we have had some slight yield losses. That's a little scary when you're telling somebody to use a growth regulator and then all of a sudden spending $25 or $30 an acre and then you might gonna get less yield. That was only on a couple fields and under certain conditions. That's why I think for now anyways, the manipulator is working quite well for us in Brome grasses anyways. And Timothy too. We kind of see that same thing with Timothy. Those treatments, those other two treatments can be pretty, sometimes if we get a little bit drier. And Timothy's a little more sensitive a crop, especially when it does get on the dry side. And they can be pretty harsh on Timothy. And whereas the manipulator has been, you know, does its thing. Maybe the big yield increases aren't there in a really wet year. But again, I haven't seen any yield losses with manipulator anyways. So it's kind of a steady product. And there's definitely some return to using it when we get into the wet years. But certainly not much risk in causing any yield damage, you know, if we do get into those stress conditions.
2021 having been a very dry year, and then 2020 was a crazy wet year. Did you already have results in 2019? Was that somewhat?
2019 was an average year. On our fescue, on our creeping red fescue, the results weren't quite as good as what we got in 2020. We did have some nice results on Timothy and Brome grasses that year. It's kind of a average kind of year. I think it's just those years like this year where we got into some really dry conditions. And unfortunately this year too, 2021, we did everything right. We had nice sites, and just because of the dry conditions, there was so much variability in how these plants were shooting out seed heads, like not even treatment effects, right? It was just so dry that I'm probably only able to use about 50 or 60% of the data that I collected this year on some of our growth regulator trials. I'm not going to say it's a lost year, but I'm kind of looking forward to get maybe more of a, I don't think anything's normal up in the Peace Country, but, you know, at least get more of an average type year. And I think that's the key with this, is just trying to get as many sites and years in as possible. So we've got a wide range of different field conditions, different fertility regimes, different yield potentials in the stands. At the end of the day, these products are going to suit those growers that are those areas where they've got good solid stands, lots of fertility, good moisture conditions, and they're going to be pretty effective that way. Yeah, the creeping red fescue is, I mean, that's by far our biggest grass seed crop that we grew up here. The end use is turf seed used in lawn mixes and stuff like that. And that one's been a little more of a struggle. We were doing work with it and I was actually almost giving up on it. It seemed like we weren't getting the responses. Yet other parts of the world are using it on their creeping red fescue. And then 2020, they just worked phenomenal. We were gaining 200 to 300 pounds an acre at $1 a pound. That's an extra couple hundred bucks an acre for a $25 or $30 treatment. And so then I definitely got a little more excited about it. I don't know what clicked that year. Well, it was a really wet year too, but it really kicked in. And then, you know, again, this year, it didn't make sense to be using them because nothing lodged at all, really, on the fescue crop. So we'll see what this next year brings on our fescue. Up until 2020, we weren't having as much success with the growth regulators on creeping red fescue as the other crops we were using it on. And so we did adjust our rates a little bit, too. We did bump them up a little bit. And maybe that's we started to see, be seeing them more effective in 2020. And then, like I say, 2021, it was interesting. We did have one yield. We did have some seed yield loss in 2021 on one fescue site. And most of the sites look pretty terrible where we put the growth regulators on, but we didn't necessarily see much yield loss. So that's, again, that's in a weird kind of way, it's kind of encouraging when when we do that, you know, when they look so terrible and then when you do the yields are actually the same as the check, even though it wouldn't have paid, obviously.
And I guess it might be too early to tell if the ones that looked visually terrible, if they are going to recover just fine for 2022.
Yeah, they'd be fine. I mean, we go to different fields again, right? So we're not really following up on those, which, again, is probably something that we should be looking at just to see if, yeah, that's a very good point, whether those treatments would carry over into the next year. My feeling is they could actually be better, you know, in terms of yield next year. But at this point in stage with our work, we're just going on to new sites every year and just targeting kind of first and second year stands for these grasses.
So you would just apply it in the first or second year of a stand, or would you apply it on an annual basis, depending on the weather conditions?
You know, every crop's different, right? So like creeping red fescue, you're only going to keep it in for 1 or 2 years of seed production, then it gets sod bound and then they take it out. Timothy, meadow brome, something like the bromes might be in for 3 years of production. I would think the growth regulators, you know, you're going to use them in the first 2 years. Timothy, we've had some good results on a third and fourth year stand, but it's in also was in an area that gets consistently good moisture all the time, and it's a nice solid stand. Overall, as a rule of thumb, your grass seed crops are going to be the most productive in the first 2 years, so that's probably where you're going to be using them more. Or maybe that first year or two, maybe you look at the modus by itself or the mix, and then later on maybe the manipulator because it's a little gentler on the crop type of thing.
If somebody's thinking about using growth regulators, what about residue?
No, that's a really good question. They're hormones. There's nothing wrong with them. They're not like herbicide residues or anything like that. We are in the process of with the Modus anyways, like it's a very, very expensive project to get feed residue testing done on products. And fortunately, the federal government or Ag Canada has a program that if our product gets selected, they will actually do the testing of it for us to get a minor use registration or to get data like you're talking about there. Both of those are getting looked at right now through that program. I guess you have to be a little careful, but I mean, the Modus is used on pretty much every grassy crop grown down in Oregon. And after harvest, all that straw is basically baled up off the fields, shipped over to Japan and used. So, I mean, they've been doing this for 15, 20 years. There's a pretty wide time frame as well. You know, you're looking at, this depends on the species, you're probably like 2 months between when you put it on and when it's harvested. I mean, those are important things. We're definitely getting some of that work done to get a feeding restriction or guidelines on labels of both those products, but just experience from other countries that are doing it. I don't see why it's an issue at all.
You mentioned the products are registered on some of the cereal crops, but your work is helping with getting them registered for the grassy crops. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You know, that's our main goal at the end of the day. And it kind of comes down to the company, whether they'll support the work that we've done and whether they'll actually add it onto their label. It would always go on as a minor use registration. When we do get a herbicide or a herbicide example, we don't have growth regulators, minor use registration yet on some of these different grass seed crops, but there's always print that says it's a minor use registration. The company isn't responsible for any damage, but it's still important to do just so that growers are aware some products are out there that could be used on their crops. Absolutely, that is the goal, to get this work done. Then we would summarize it, present it to the companies. The company in Canada that distributes manipulator is Belcham, and the company that distributes Modus is Syngenta. It's going to come down to them as well. If they feel comfortable looking at our data and saying, you know, yeah, it looks good, you know, we're not seeing any real issues using it or whatever, then we, you know, we'll support it. I mean, they're probably not going to support the mix. They would only support their own products if they agree to do it. I would see the manipulator being a fairly easy one to get on something like brome grasses because we haven't seen any yield losses or any damage at all. So I'm sure the company would support something like that. The Modus could be a little bit different because they do make some of those stands look a little bit ugly at times, even though, you know, when you get into those conditions and the company sales guy with Syngenta doesn't want to be going out and looking at a farmer's field that he thinks was really hurt by this product, even though it probably wasn't. So, well, we'll see. The information will still be good regardless of which way we go.
Your work still has another year, and then where are you next to with this?
Yeah, we'll use these stream treatments for another year. Oh, there's so much to do with this stuff. I mean, you know, even in those other parts of the world, they've been using them for 20 or 25 years, and I mean, they're still doing work with them. I'm hoping we can move forward with another, you know, even 4 or 5 years of this work. There's one crop we want to do a little more work on, would be the wheat grasses, because we haven't done any work with growth regulators on that. It's not a huge crop up here, but it's still there. So we're interested maybe to do some of that. And then, you know, we'd still do a lot of work on the bromes and creeping red fescue and timothy. Again, it would be probably fine-tuning some rates, some staging of application, applying them every week over a 3 or 4 week period. That would be really nice. There's lots to do. We'll move forward with some of that. You can never get enough data using these things over, you know, a large number of years. And maybe getting a little more specialized. This was a good screening trial to say, you know what, manipulator, that's probably the one you're going to use on brome grass. I've only used one rate, right? So maybe we should try some 3 different rates at 2 different timings or something like that. Maybe we'll get a little more focused in picking out which treatment was the most effective, we think has the most potential for long-term use for that particular crop. And then again, just maybe expand with that product a little bit more in rates and timing trials.
And so at what point would you be ready to put it forward for a minor use registration?
Again, it just depends on the product. Like say on bromes, I mean, I'd be getting pretty comfortable even right now with the data we've got. It's probably more or less just waiting for that project to get finalized, which was kind of just accepted a year ago. It's a slow process getting those things done, but you know, it could be a couple years from now until we see that. You know, as far as my data, say brome with manipulator on bromes at a liter an acre, I'd be comfortable with it right now. The modus, I'd like to see a couple more years of data under a couple different conditions on some of these different crops just to get a feel for things. Or say the other one too would be manipulator on timothy. You know, we've had some nice responses. Again, not as aggressive as the modus. Even at this point in time, I'd feel fairly comfortable moving forward with it, especially after this year. If we can kind of get an average year, we'd get a couple more sites, I think we'd have some pretty nice sets of data points to start moving some of this stuff through.
Anything else on that project you would like to share that we didn't touch on?
The one thing I look at with these products is when we look at our turf and forage seed production up here in the Peace Country, there's been a lot of work done. There's always practices that you're going to fine-tune in terms of fertility, post-harvest management, establishment that are going to tweak your yields a little bit or improve your quality. But the growth regulator is the one that we have to make sure we do a really good job at, because it's probably the one last practice that we can use that can really push up your yields. We're talking 30%, 40% in some cases. You know, those are obviously the high, you know, those are the years where things really click. We saw great responses, but those are pretty significant yield increases. And we just have to make sure we do a thorough job on making sure and finding out for sure whether they have an actual fit up here or not, I guess is kind of what I'm getting at. So that mix of the modus and manipulator, maybe it is a little too strong at the rates we're using, but maybe we can even drop it down further and cheaper as well. We just want to do a good job in making sure we get this. I can't say figured out, because in 3 or 4 years, maybe it'll be a different story. And I'll say, no, this stuff, we're not getting consistent enough yield over time. We just got to make sure that we do a good job of figuring out for sure what's going on with this stuff. And it's nice, too, now that the modus is, and both manipulator kind of commercial, you know, they're available. Like modus wasn't available to even the cereal growers, you know, until a year and a half ago. You know, we work with some growers and doing like 20 or 30 acre chunks in their fields just to mess around with it, you know, just to get some good practical experience with that. And that'll help with time as well. That'll be a big part of it. We've got some treatments that I feel comfortable telling growers to try on a small scale basis. And then we can start doing that over a couple of years, and then guys get some good practical experience with it and just see where things are at. They're actually pretty neat products to work with. And to be honest, it's rewarding already just using that manipulator at a liter an acre on brome grasses. Like I think some growers are really benefiting from that already. It's fun work to do.
If people would like to know more about you and your work, I mean, mm-hmm. This is not the only project you've been working on. Where should they go search?
The Peace Region Forage Seed Association Commission does have a website, and then just basically contacting me by phone or email. Yeah, my cell number is 780-864-7663. My email is calvinyoder123@gmail.com. Usually every year, I put some PowerPoint summaries together and PDF them. So when people phone or maybe interested in looking at the results, I just email them easily to them and go through them. And, you know, we have quite a few grower meetings each year in the wintertime, and we've got tours in the summertime as well where we're showing, you know, farmers in the field how these things are working.
So lots of opportunities for people to learn more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today, Calvin. I hope that was fun for you too.
It was.
Welcome back.
As Calvin mentioned, he is happy to pick up the phone if you reach out with some questions on growth regulators or anything else related to forage agronomy. I think we're pretty fortunate to have somebody like Calvin in the region, as forage production is a niche to its own. And to have a trained forage specialist who is also keen on conducting trials and research is a double bonus. If you are in the area, also watch out for any plot walks or field days if you would like to see some of these demonstrations firsthand. As a researcher, Calvin is always looking to share and support the industry in the region. Up next will be a chat with Craig Wilson from Mammoth Forestry. It will be a hot topic indeed as we talk about wildfire, fire prevention, and how you could get a free home assessment through the Fire Smart program. Stay tuned for that. Wherever you get your podcast episodes, also make sure you follow us so you never miss another episode and you can share your favorites with your aunt across the globe or your neighbor down the road. Funding for this project has been provided by the BC Hydro Peace Agricultural Compensation Fund. Thank you so much for making this project possible and supporting local agriculture in the Peace and beyond. For feedback or suggestions on what you would like to hear on the Knowledge for Resilience in the Peace podcast, please email us at coordinator@peaceforage.bc.ca. Until next time, stay informed, stay resilient.